Good. Da-na-na-na-na.
Good afternoon. I'm opening the Joint Committee on Ways and Means, Subcommittee on Public Safety. Today is June 21st, 2017, and we're going to do Senate Bill
session on
work session on Senate Bill 689 relating to the Task Force on Reentry, Employment, and Housing.
Thank you, Madam Co-Chair, committee members. Senate Bill 689 recreates the 20-member Task Force on Reentry, Employment, and Housing to allow it to continue studying and recommending methods and actions that state and local governments can take to help with reentry into the community for people leaving prison. It will also look for ways to expand employment and housing opportunities for people with criminal convictions and create certifications for people with criminal convictions. The measure requires the task force to submit a report to the legislature by September 15th of next year, 2018, and the task force itself would sunset again on December 31st, 2018. We heard this bill, had a public hearing on this bill on June 12th, and the Senate Judiciary Committee heard it on March 14th and April 6th. So original materials from those hearings are on OLIS. And the measure is anticipated to have a minimal fiscal impact on the agencies and counties that participate as members on the task force and on the Legislative Assembly and the legislative staff offices supporting the task force.
Madam Co-Chair, Senator Winters, I move Senate Bill 689 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Co-Chair Stark moves Senate Bill 689 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Is there objection? Hearing none. Let's see. Blue?
Oh, sure. I thought that's fine.
Who over the House would like to take this?
I will. Sorry. I'll vote yes.
And since she's late coming in, Senator Steiner, here, would you take this to the floor?
Yes, ma'am. Which one am I taking? 483 or 689?
689.
Thank you. Sorry about that, ma'am.
Which one?
Am I taking? Did you already do 483? Two?
No. No.
Okay. We were waiting for you.
No, we're waiting for you.
Thank you.
Open up a work session on Senate Bill 483 relating to unlawful use of global positioning systems device.
Chair Winters, members of the committee, Senate Bill 483 creates the crime of unlawful use of a GPS device by knowingly attaching it to a vehicle without the consent of the owner. The crime is classified as a Class A misdemeanor unless the individual has a previous conviction for stalking or is violating a court order for stalking, in which case it becomes a Class C felony. The staff measure summary and fiscal impact statement are available on OLIS. The measure previously had a public hearing in this subcommittee on June 12th. It's anticipated to have a minimal fiscal impact to the Department of Corrections, Judicial Department, District Attorneys, and the Public Defense Services Commission. We have no proposed amendments and are ready to take action.
Co-Chair Winters, I move Senate Bill 483 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation.
Co-Chair Stark moves Senate Bill 43 to the full committee with a due pass recommendation. Is there discussion? Is there objection? None. So approved. Let's see. Representative Barker will take it on the House floor.
I'll take it to full if you want.
Representative Stark on the full committee.
Senator Bronson's
on the Senate floor. Close the work session and open up public hearing on Senate Bill 1041 related to treatment by public monies. I thought I saw, yeah.
Chair Winters, members of the committee, the Senate Bill 1041 directs the Criminal Justice Commission to study, track, and account for all public monies appropriated for and expended on alcohol and drug treatment and report the results to the Legislative Assembly related to judiciary on or before September 15th of 2019. As part of the study, CJC is to examine the treatment provided by the state, other public entities, or private entities through contract with public entities, and to examine the outcomes of each type of treatment and its effect on the criminal justice system.
Wow.
CJC anticipates the need for a full-time, limited-duration policy analyst position at 1 FTE, an estimated cost of $284,344 of general fund in the 17-19 biennium. The policy analyst position would develop a system to track the treatment funds and identify treatment outcomes. The position would also continue for the first 3 months of 1921 until the report is finalized and then provided on September 15th of 2019.
And we have Mike Schmidt from CJC and Jeff Wood from OACCD. And whichever one of you gentlemen want to start first.
There you go.
Chair Winters, Co-Chair Stark, members of the committee, my name is Mike Schmidt. I'm the Executive Director of the Criminal Justice Commission. And here to testify on 1041, John Terpening from LFO is correct. We ask for one position to be able to do this work. We think it is going to be a lot of work and require the complete attention of somebody who's just going to essentially bird dog this the whole way through. We sat down, CJC, with the five agencies named in this bill, DOC, OIA, OHA, DHS, and we kind of had our research folks get together in the room, and they prepared a kind of a one-pager that bled onto the next page of, you know, the challenges and issues that we are facing and that we anticipate facing. But, you know, there's a lot of things that we can do, and especially on the what we kind of saw as the first step, which is just who are all the alcohol and drug treatment providers in the state. I think there's already been some good work in that issue that we can piggyback off of. And then tracing the money from the state agencies, both federal and state, that are passing through to all those treatment providers. But then where the rubber really meets the road is going to be trying to determine outcomes and getting data from the providers on, you know, who is it that is being assigned to this treatment? Were they completing successful? What was the duration? What is their risk level? Did they recidivate? And so there's going to be a lot of work of trying to figure that out and how we're going to get to that, which is why I'm excited to have Jeff Wood from OACCD next to me, because I think they're going to be an integral part in helping us get that. Because especially in the criminal justice involved population, which this bill is not limited to, but especially in that population, you know, it's community corrections, criminal justice that have that are essentially assigning the people to go out and get that treatment. So we're going to have to really work hand in hand with them. But then, of course, at a broader way, to figure out what are other outcomes that we're trying to track. Recidivism reduction is the obvious one for the criminal justice population. But what are the outcomes that we're trying to track for the population that's not criminally involved? And so we've got a lot of questions. It's going to take a very collaborative effort and I think a lot of work, but we are looking forward to it. We think it's going to be really good.
Co-Chair Winters, Co-Chair Stark. For the record, my name is Jeff Wood. I'm a division commander with the Marion County Sheriff's Office. I'm also the vice president of the Oregon Association of Community Corrections Directors, OACCD. I am here with Mike in support of Senate Bill 1041. As most of you probably know, there are around 31,000 people who are on some form of community supervision throughout the state of Oregon, either placement on probation by the courts or release from prison or our local jails on post-prison supervision. If the studies we do in Marion County are indicative throughout the rest of the state, and I have every reason to think they are, roughly about 70% of the people of those that we supervise are in need of some form of drug and alcohol treatment services. So if you average that out, you're talking about 21,000 people that we manage who are in need of treatment services. And I'm saying that mostly to highlight the need of good evidence-based treatment services. With the passage of Senate Bill 267, we're at a phase right now in 2017 where we need 75% of our publicly funded drug and alcohol treatment programs and other correctional treatment programs to be evidence-based. And although a lot of people say they are evidence-based, that's not necessarily the case. It's kind of turned into a bit of a cliche over the years. When I say that, I'm talking about data-driven, research-guided, treatment programs that are cognitive-based, that do role-play and have homework and assignments. And what we know over the years is a lot in terms of the research field with this population. We know that good treatment programs can provide really good outcomes. You're talking about people who reunite with their families, maintain their sobriety, get jobs, and are productive members of the community. Conversely, there's a growing body of research that shows bad treatment is actually worse than no treatment. It would be better to do nothing. And over the years in Marion County, I'm certainly not trying to elude the fact that we're doing anything better than anyone else, but we've stubbed our toe several times, and we used to have a period of time pre-Senate Bill 267 where 60% of our population used to fail treatment programming. Now we're at about a 60% success rate. And I'm not trying to say that to make it sound like our treatment programs are any easier. On the flip side, they're actually more difficult, but we have a higher a success rate because of some of those changes that we've made internally. With that said, with the passage of the Affordable Care Act and Oregon as an expansion state, I think Mike said it really well. This is a complicated issue. The bill is very well worded, but in terms of defining some of these outcomes that we're looking for, it becomes very complicated. And OACCD, although we're certainly not asking to be formally named in the bill, we would like a seat at the table. We like the Criminal Justice Commission. We even like Mike Schmidt. and we want to work with them on this bill and play a role which we think we can provide. With that, I'm happy to answer any questions.
Thank you, thank you, Madam Chair. This is a particular interest to me. I've asked my daughter, who has struggled with some issues in the past and struggled with some agencies in the past, quite simply, to look at this as something that that she might be able to help me with, help me understand. Her advice, because she went in and toured and looked at the various programs in Multnomah County, not Marion County, sometimes within the same agency, sometimes between different agencies, and she found several things that were just not working. One of the things that was not working was that the agencies didn't know what the other agencies were doing. Sometimes within the same agency, they didn't know what somebody down the street might be doing. Because they had decided on one particular approach, and in many cases the administrators knew that, but the people working with the staff with the clients did not. So I would ask that we take a look not just, quite frankly, at the numbers, the percentages of people who are coming out, and whether they are recidivism rate, how high that is, but also within the agencies, how effective are they within the agencies themselves, because that's one of the concerns that I have. This is this particular bill is a really short bill with incredible complexity to it, so it's going to be interesting. I'm looking forward to seeing what comes of this, but I would ask that we look at the outcomes as a much broader situation than just the numbers that you might see, but the impact on the folks who are there. I'd include a qualitative as well as a quantitative approach. Thank you.
Senator Steiner Hayward.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Schmidt, you and I have talked about this at some length, and I am strongly supportive of this bill. Oregon actually is one of the leading states in the nation for using evidence-based policy, and this is a really important part of that. We, as everybody in this room and everybody in this building knows, are facing significantly difficult choices about how to spend our money. And I, for one, think that the people who are receiving this treatment on the state's dime deserve nothing less than the most evidence-based effective treatments, and we shouldn't be spending money on anything else. And a slightly more expensive treatment, if it's evidence-based and it's effective, is worth every dime, but we have to be confident that it is, in fact, effective. And we can't know that without this kind of study. So I want to thank you for being willing to step up the plate. I'm delighted to hear Community Corrections wants to be engaged. I had some conversations with Scott Taylor about this, and he obviously agrees. But we've got to be sure that the treatment we're providing in the community is what's going to help people start on a path towards being productive citizens and not re-engaging in the criminal justice system in negative ways. So I'm very excited about this, and I really hope that we can move this bill. It's a statement. It's not a question, Mr. Chair, but it's really important.
Excellent. You guys are getting easy questions. Representative Pelosi.
Thank you. Oh, I thought you were just nodding along in agreement.
No, you go first, Ben.
Representative Sanchez.
Thank you so much. He's doing that to me. Thank you, Mr. Chair. So understanding the need for evidence-based
outcomes and practices and blah, blah, blah. I'm an alcohol and drug counselor, by the way. What I also know is that in communities of color, there is not evidence-based practices, or there is not evidence-based, you know, programming that actually works in different communities, because it doesn't happen, right? It, you know, oftentimes we're considered smaller populations. The work does not get done necessarily, and so we're forced to go along with the bigger model, right? So I'm hoping that we're paying attention to that piece. I'm hoping that we're looking into the significant issues of mental health and how those play a huge role in those issues. Self-medication clearly doesn't work. So we need to figure those pieces out and pay attention to that. But I really do want to, you know, kind of enforce the issue around communities of color and the lack of evidence-based, you know, practice in those fields, you know, with, specifically with alcohol and drugs. And then, of course, recognizing Dr. Spence, his work around Native American specific treatment programs and modalities that work actually much better in those populations. I'm not sure about other populations, but I think it's really, really important to identify and make sure that we're paying attention to those pieces as well.
Thank you. Now, Representative Clouseau.
Thank you, Rep. Stark. Jeff, I'm forgetting your rank or your title.
Jeff works, but my title is Commander.
Okay. No, I think that's important. So anyway, Commander, I just want to comment on, I applaud you for the success that you're showing and the numbers that you just said to us. So don't ever minimize that and don't apologize. I mean, we need to have that kind of motivation to get bigger and better and stronger. And I do think we do need to find something else around evidence-based. Mm-hmm. It has been around for at least 30 years, to my knowledge, and I have seen improvement based with that, but I think it can become old, and
people know the track.
So anyway, that's just, again, a comment, but again, you know, when you have gone from kind of a negative to a real positive on your numbers, that's really impressive, and it's very much appreciated.
Appreciate that. Thank you.
Well, it looks like we, even though we have no one else signed up to testify, it looks like there's someone who would desire to testify. Senator Winters.
You didn't ask for his objection.
For the record, I'm State Senator Jackie Winters, and you'll note I'm the chief sponsor of this bill. Mm-hmm. And you'll also note that every senator signed on to this bill. And there's a reason. We often, and the good Senator Steiner Haywood, you know, talk about the overabundance of work that we do in this building, and particularly the amount of treatments that we know nothing about. Mm-hmm. The amount of dollars that are flowing from counties to programs to various silos that we know nothing about, multiple agencies that are involved that often don't talk or collaborate with each other. So the whole issue of that has to do with how many dollars actually do we have either control of or could have control of that have to do with alcohol and drug treatment is unknown. I want you to think about it. It is unknown. Mm-hmm. And yet, as those of us are responsible for actually not only to put together budgets, but to help to make certain that dollars are going where the needs are the greatest. And yet, this is unknown. The other piece of this is also, we don't know who the providers are, where they're located, whether they are in-state, out-state, in another country, or where. We don't know. And to me, you know, I go back to, you know, my people suffer for lack of knowledge. and we suffer from not having adequate information and the data that we need to make good decisions, let alone to get to the area of what is effective and what's not effective. And I had this conversation with Mike Schmidt and said, you know, we can't continue to operate in this vacuum of unknown. And that's what has given a genesis to Senate Bill 1041. And it's my hope that having the Criminal Justice Commission as the lead agency responsible for, collecting the data and the information for us so that we will be able to make some more informed decisions. As Mike Schmidt has said, they started some of the preliminary work by getting the agencies that are listed here together to begin talking about some methodologies as to how they will go forward. And I really appreciate the initial work. It was very deliberate on my part to actually ask CJC to be the lead agency on this, because I think most of us will agree that the work that they perform and what they do is work of high quality and high integrity, and I think that that's what we need to get reports back that gleans the kind of information that we can use in the future. So with that, colleagues, if you have any questions, I'd be happy to answer, but that's the reason for Senate Bill 1041.
Other questions? All right, so I do have a question. I'm noticing, as you pointed out, that all 30 Senate members joined on to this. No House members have, but as I sit here and try to click add, it tells me I have to go speak to my desk chamber, or the office over here. So why is it you're not letting House members sign on?
It wasn't that I did not let you. You have every opportunity in this building. I believe that when it comes to your chamber, to your side, I believe that you then have the opportunity, am I not correct, then to add to the bill?
You are correct, because I can't add my name onto a bunch of House bills that I want to be on yet until they make their way out of the House. Well, so as soon as we pass this bill out of Ways and Means and pass it off the Senate floor, then you can sign on, Representative.
I expect to see a lot of House members sign on to this.
You're certainly welcome. If you need my consent, you have it.
Excellent. Thank you.
We look forward to getting at least as many House members as we have senators.
And we do have one more late arriver. But given that today is Senator Winter's day to chair, she can decide whether or not he gets to testify. Go on up, Ms. Reams.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair Stark, Co-Chair Stark, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Jonathan Eames. I'm here on behalf of the Oregon Prevention Education and Recovery Association, a very large mouthful, but it's also known as OPRA. They're the statewide association that represents alcohol and drug treatment facilities in the state of Oregon. We'd like to applaud and thank Senator Winters for bringing this bill forward. And you know, when we've had a lot of discussions about it, because you can look at this bill and look at it two different ways. You can say, oh, we don't believe that treatment's doing anything good. Or, which we've chosen to look at this bill as, is we want to find what works. We want to find if our money is funding things that work. We want to look at treatment facilities, and we want to say, is the money that we're providing actually ending up in a place where people are in a better place in their lives? Whether they are in recovery, whether there's recidivism, whatever it is, we're choosing to look at this bill as something that has been needed for a long time. There has not been a focus on treatment. There has not been as much of a light shined on the good work that we're doing. There are a lot of providers out there, and you know, we only represent a small portion of the providers, but they're mostly the larger providers that are providing treatment services in the state. So we know the work that we're doing, and we would love to have the opportunity to show what does work. Science-based, and we also want this to be just like any other healthcare modality. Oftentimes we hear treatment is, you know, pull yourself up by the bootstraps, you need to work harder, you just failed. If we treated diabetes the same way that we treat as treatment, then we would see a lot better and more scrutiny. I mean, I think our providers are very welcome and willing to look at outcomes-based science and look at this as medicine. So it's really important. We also think, while we know that the intent is to not criminalize treatment by putting in the CJC, I have great confidence in Mr. Schmidt. I have great confidence in the CJC to be able to do this work well. So I'm glad that that was chosen as a location to put the focus. But again, this is not a criminal disorder. This is something that is a sickness. This is something that is just like mental health. It's difficult. It's difficult to fix. It's difficult to, and you may never be able to fix it, quote unquote. But if we can approach this from a science-based, outcome-based way, then I think we're gonna see success. So thank you, Senator Winters, and thank you, committee, for considering this bill.
Any further questions, comments?
It's a very exciting bill. Very excited to get this going.
Truly, I am excited about it because I think it's long overdue. And I also think, and I, you know, go back to Representative Huffman, and it appears as though, you know, we constantly never provide the kind of resource that we think that is needed in order to do the work and treating in the alcohol and drug treatment. And not only, and you're correct, Representative Sanchez and others, it is beyond just the one piece of our system. Mm-hmm. It is much broader, and that's why you will see the agencies that have been included. So that you do have the Oregon Health Authority, you do have the OIA, and you do have the others coming to the table, because I believe that until we actually get to the place of evidence base in our treatment modality and know what exists, we will continue, Representative Huffman, to underfund that which is needed. So I really appreciate, and I really appreciate CJC, you know, stepping up and agreeing that we needed to do this. I think this kind of work, not only for this particular issue, but the other one that I'm really interested in, and that's to begin to do statewide mapping on what resources exist. I think, you know, doing this budget work, that we need to know what the actual needs are out there in our community. So there's no further comments or question on Senate Bill 1041. I will close the public hearing. And is there any more comments for the good of the order? Tomorrow is Thursday, and I know that we have two budgets to do tomorrow. So I look forward to seeing all of you tomorrow. And with that, we are adjourned. And Mike, I do need to...